Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning. And again, just what a blessing it has already been just being in the house of the Lord today. If you have your Bibles with you, go ahead and look with me to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus, we're going to be studying chapter 16, reading verse 14 down to verse 27. So Exodus chapter 16, second book of the Bible. If you would, go ahead and stand with me, if you're able to do so, as we read the Word of God. As I read, you follow right along with me. Exodus in chapter 16, beginning here in verse 14, the Bible says, "And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoar frost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, 'It is manna, for it is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, and omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye there every man for them which are in his tents.' And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, 'Let no man leave of it till the morning.' Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted. And it came to pass on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, 'This is that which the Lord has said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seethe that ye will seethe. And that which remaineth over, lay up for you to be kept until the morning.' And they laid it up till the morning, and as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, 'Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it. But on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none.' And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you this morning, again, we thank you for just your presence here in this place. Thank you for what we've already received in just being here. But now, Lord God, as we have opened up your word and we have read this passage of scripture, I believe that you have a message for us today for each one to be able to apply to their own lives. So I pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message from your word to your people. For this we ask in Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You may be seated. Here in Exodus in chapter 16, we find God introducing manna to the children of Israel. This manna would be God's provisions for their journey. Now, their journey, as we study this, this is still somewhat a mystery in history. Some 2 million people who had been slaves in Egypt, making their way through the wilderness of a desert, to the promised land of Canaan. Only God could accomplish this. Thinking about the food, thinking about the water, all that would take place with this many people traveling through the wilderness of a desert. Now, God's recorded it for us that we may learn some things. Everything about the Old Testament has been recorded and preserved for us to learn biblical principles that never cease to exist. Biblical principles, if it is a biblical principle, it is truth forever. It's just not according to the truth of the Old Testament. It's a principle that can be applied throughout eternity. It's biblical principles. It's truths. God's provisions and what we study here, and of course, if you read throughout the book of Exodus, you understand this as well, but God's provisions were dependent upon God's children doing things according to God's instructions. Very important that they would learn this, because that's how God would have them to live in the promised land. The promised land would not be considered as heaven. The promised land is considered the will of God. This is how they were to live in the will of God. Understanding God's instructions and then following those instructions. And not only do we find this in the Old Testament for the nation of Israel, but it's also the same for us as we navigate our way through our journey of life. Everyone has a journey. I mean, there's some that's just beginning their journey of life. Look at the teens and even some younger here this morning, and then we look at others that are coming to the end of their journey of life. Just the cycle, if you will. And will continue to be a cycle of life until the rapture. And then, of course, they don't have to worry about time and don't have to worry about cycles, because it's going to be heaven. No more time and no more sorrows and no more having to make our way through a journey. We will have arrived. And praise the Lord for that understanding of heaven being a final destination. And only can imagine the blessings that are going to be associated with eternity, a glorified body, and a new heaven, and a new earth, and all the blessings that God has given us just a little bit of insight into to help us to realize it's something to look forward to. I often tell people, many expectations we have in this life usually fall short, but you cannot have too great of expectations of heaven. It will far exceed our greatest expectations. And that's how God has given us this insight into the heaven in the Bible. But they're on their way to this journey from Exodus to the promised land of Canaan. Now, we find here, as we've read, some instructions in verse 18, it says, "And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eatings." The instructions that God gave them was to meet, or that word meet means to measure out. And they were to measure out an omer, which would have been about 2 quarts per individual. Now, I don't know about you, but most families, there's some that eat more than their fair share. But we find here that as they did it according to God's plan, it worked to satisfy everybody. That's a miracle within itself in most homes, if you would. Because it was God's plan. They did it the way God said to do it, then God would bless it to where it would be enough for everybody. But then we find in verse 20 Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses. But some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. Now, who knows how long it took some to try to do it a different way. And that's basically what was taking place here, that when they did it God's way, then it was exactly the provisions that they all would need, and God would bless that. But when they tried to do it a different way, it bred worms and stank. I'm thinking, why would you think that you could design a better way than God? And it's working. Why change something that is working? If it's not broke, don't fix it. Amen? I mean, that's just a thought that we have in our hearts and our minds, and as long as we're doing it God's way, it is providing everything we need concerning food for our existence. It's part of the provisions of God. But even then, there were some that just had to try a different way, thinking that possibly they knew more than what God did concerning God's supply of manna. Well, then of verse 23 down to verse 26, we find some other instructions here just to prove it is God's doing this. 6 days, they were to, on the sixth day, they were to gather twice as much. Because God's the one that put it there, God would determine when it would be there and when it wouldn't be there. And they needed to have this understanding of a daily bread, where daily they would go out and they would do exactly what God said, and they would do exactly what God said, then it would meet their need in their journey through life. But the exception would be on the sixth day, because God's plan for the seventh day would be a day of rest. They were not supposed to go out on the day of rest. It's a day of rest. So because God's plan was the Sabbath day, is the day of rest, on the seventh day. But God still would provide, even with the exception of not having man on the seventh day, if they would, again, understand it's God who's providing, so let's do it God's way, and as long as we do it God's way, that it will be there. The provisions would be there. But on the sixth day, they were to gather twice as much, eat what God told them to eat on the sixth day, and then prepare the rest of it for the seventh day. And if they did it exactly as God told them to do it, it would not stink. It would not melt. It would be there for them for the Sabbath day. That was God's instructions. And as we looked at that, even looking back now, we're thinking, wow. I mean, it's a miracle, the manna from heaven that God provided that allowed some 2 million to go across the desert, the wilderness of the desert, to the place God had prepared for them. That in itself is a miracle. But now to have an exception of daily bread, and on the sixth day, you do take more as God has instructed, because it's not man's instructions, it's God's instructions, and how he would provide enough for everyone to have on the sixth day, for not only the sixth day, but for the seventh day. But in verse 27, it came to pass, there went out some of the people. Doesn't tell us a percentage, but there's always a certain percentage to think that they can devise a better plan and do it a different way. And they went out together, which would be a sign of rebellion brought on by a lack of faith to believe God. I trust you're reading that, you're able to get the very same truth from that. God's provisions to be done God's way. God gave instructions for his provisions, and it was supposed to be done God's way. And those that did not do it God's way were in a sin of rebellion against God. So what we're learning here again is Israel, God's children, stop rebelling and start living by faith or doing things the way God says to do them. That is what's proven to work. And God recorded it for us all the way through. Even when they got to the promised land, that kicked them back out for another 40 years to try to learn this very same thing. And it wasn't until they actually were able to go into the promised land, on the threshold of the promised land, that God stopped the manna. But as long as they were in the wilderness, God would provide the manna, helping them to see. As long as they would do things according to God's instructions, his provisions would be there for their journey through life. Wow. So as we apply it to our lives, it's a biblical principle. First thing to learn, stop rebelling. Whether some see it as rebellion or not, it's rebellion. No devil's trying to blind you to the fact of the sin of rebellion to replace it with, we're just seeing if our way might work better. This idea of rebellion is to be defiant, to resist authority. Can I tell you, there's no greater authority than that of God. They wanted to try to do things their way, even though they knew the way God said to do it. Now, there's some people that don't actually understand the Bible. They don't understand God's will. They have not got that teaching. They do not have the understanding of the words of God, and they're going to try to do things their way, and that's really not rebellion because they don't know the right way. But once we come to that place where we understand what the Bible says about whatever it is that we're facing in our journey through life, we understand this is what God says about our journey through life. This is what God says. This is how we are to live. This is how we are to apply the truths of God's word. By not applying it that way, by not accepting it and living that way, then we are in a state of rebellion if we know what's right to do and we choose not to do it. No matter what the excuse that might be used. Well, it's a different day and time. Surely there's something with this 21st century that we can change some of these, the way that we do things. I'm not saying that there's never going to be a change. I'm saying that the Bible never changes. God's plan never changes. His words remain the same. His instructions do not change either. So we find here that once we understand, if you can understand how God would have us to apply the words of God to whatever our journey through life has to deal with, once we understand what the Bible says to do in that journey, in this trial, it's rebellion if we say, I think I'll try a different way. That's rebellion. That's what we're learning. And praise the Lord, not everyone's doing that, but some of them did. Once they learned, they were in rebellion when they didn't do it. Psalms chapter 81. Now, we have a scripture to help us understand some of these things. In Psalms in chapter 81, in verse 10, the Bible says, I am the Lord thy God. That's who I am, God says. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. So it helps us to identify this psalm with what's taking place in Exodus, so we can learn of this. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Look to me. Open your mouth toward me, and I'll fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. This is what God wants you to do, but not that they couldn't, they would not. So I gave them up into their own heart's lust. Maybe your own heart's lust is keeping you from doing it God's way. So I gave them up into their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. It's your counsel, somehow believing that's better than God's counsel. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways, I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. And if God defeated their enemies and their adversaries, they would have never went into captivity. They would have continued to have their needs met by God. But they failed to do it God's way. 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel, let me just read this to you. You know this, the story here of Saul, King Saul. But in 1 Samuel chapter 15, Saul was instructed. Saul went, but he didn't do it God's way. So the prophet had to come, and Samuel had to address Saul. In verse 20 of chapter 15, and Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. Some people want to think they're obeying the voice of the Lord when they are not. I've obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way which the Lord sent me and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. Pat on the back. But the people. Okay, well, Saul, aren't you the king? Any other time you would make sure the people did what you told them to do. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed. So you knew they should have been destroyed, but you let the people take them anyway. Well, we did it for a good cause. I decided to do it this way because I can see a good cause in doing it this way, even though it's not the way that God said to do it. To sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Which one do you think God is more pleased with, Saul? Can I tell you that it's the same for us today? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion. So here we find that God is revealing to King Saul, and it's recorded for us to realize, when you don't do it God's way, no matter what the outcome, and you want to think that your way is better, and you know what God says, but you do not do it God's way, you want to replace doing it God's way with your way, for the rebellion, and it is rebellion, is as a sin of witchcraft. It's spiritual battles being lost. And stubbornness is as iniquity, sin, and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and he hath also rejected thee from being king. Consequences from not obeying and dealing with the trials and the battles as you make your way through life's journey God's way. So stop rebelling. Start living by faith and following God's instructions. That's what Israel needed to hear. And that's what we need to hear. Satan might be blinding us to a certain type of rebellion. And we've justified it because in our own counsel, in our own minds, we can do it the way we want to do it. Even though it's not quite the way that God says to do it. Can I say that God has a plan for how we today are to handle the battles that we face on our journey through life? And we all have them. And we will continue to have them. They might be a little different from just starting out as teenagers. Some of their battles, we as those that are on the end of things can think back and remember the beginning of things and say, I'm glad I don't have to battle that anymore. But as we look back, that impacted our journey. It really has. The battles we lost as teenagers, as well as some of the battles that we won as teenagers, had impacted our lives. And even what we're dealing with at the end of our life journey. It's never too late to turn back to obedience and by faith start following God's instructions. I've read, been reading a book on Vince Havner on Lord of What's Left. I love that thought. God wants to be Lord of our lives from the beginning to the end. But wherever you're at, if you still have life, it's not too late. There might not be a whole lot left, but I'm going to make sure that what is left on my journey of life, I am going to look to Jesus Christ as Lord of whatever's left in my journey of life. Can't go back and change anything in the past, but I can sure understand that when I yield to Jesus Christ and do things God's way, that I can have God's blessings, and I want to have God's blessings for the rest of my life. If we'd have known what we do at the end of life and being able to see it as clearly as we get started in life, yeah, it would make a difference. And we can understand it as we look to God's word because it's the same. One of the battles of life, and there's so many, but I picked out a couple here that I feel like that they would have, we have today, something that everyone battles as we go through the journey of life, is fear. Maybe we're having a difficulty with health, fear. Satan would love to captivate our hearts and our minds, destroy anything that we could receive from God with this tool of fear. Even teenagers, they have a fear. Their fears are a little bit different. They're not fearing cancer, and they're not fearing arthritis, and they're not fearing a lot of different things, but they're fearing peer pressure. They're fearing kind of to be put aside and not fit in. There's fears there. And Satan would love to use that fear to get them to do whatever somebody else tells them they need to do to fit in. Have a relationship. Fear. Romans in chapter 8. I think that Israel might have, some of them, they went out and they kept some over because they had fear that maybe it won't be there tomorrow. And so because of fear, they went out and took more than what God told them to do on a daily basis. And fear led them to do it, and lack of faith, but it stank. Because God says, it's not going to be good enough for you tomorrow. You have to go out on a daily basis. But it was fear of that not being there. Again, Romans in chapter, let me read to you in the book of Romans in chapter 8. And chapter 8 is a powerful book of the Bible. But verse 15, the Bible says this: for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. That means before we look to God and have the Holy Spirit of God, then we can be in bondage to fear. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit of adoption, knowing that we are the children of God and have faith in being one of God's children, to where he's going to watch over me and he's going to help me. He's going to be there for me. He's going to provide for me. All the different things that God has promised us to do, that we can have that peace and we can have that strength. But without that, fear can keep you in bondage because Satan will use it. It's a powerful tool. In this very same chapter, verse 28 says, and we know. What do you know? Well, what God promises me. What I need to be able to overcome fear, according to the Word of God, is faith. Sometimes we try to handle it ourselves and we think, well, no, the way to overcome this particular fear is to give in. The way to overcome this fear of being kind of ostracized or not fit in is to do what they say to do, no matter what kind of sin that might entail. Can I tell you, that's going to bring destruction because you're not doing it the way God says to do it. You overcome fear by having faith in God. Because verse 28 says this, and we know this is faith. I know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And so if I need to know this, and so if I deal with this fear by overcoming fear with faith, my faith is in God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And so I need to just, instead of focusing on the fear, focus on loving God. And as I'm loving God and understanding more of God's love for me, then my faith will increase in my relationship with God. And as my faith increases in my relationship with God, I can overcome whatever fear that I might have throughout my journey in life. Yeah. Wow. So what do I do when I'm being overwhelmed with fear? Well, you can do what you think you ought to do, or what you're counseled to do by the world, or you can do what God says to do. Work on increasing your faith. When you increase your faith, it will overcome your fears. Amen. Because as we study the Word of God, the most important thing that God provides for us to overcome fear is faith. But are we working on that? It's God. I think that you've studied the Bible, you understand that that is what is so important in this life, is faith in God. But am I working on that when I'm dealing with fears? Am I trying to deal with it myself? Am I going out and getting more than what the Bible says to get as far as the manna, thinking that I got to store it up so I'll have it for the morning because it might not be there tomorrow? Wait a minute, did God say it would be there? Then trust God and do it God's way, and fear will go away because you will overcome the fear with your faith in God. Amen. Another battle that we face in our journey through life, and some have a harder time with this than others, but anxiety. Anxiety. How are we dealing with anxieties? Psalm 29. I've got to hurry here. This Psalms 29, verses 1 and 2. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Verse 10, the Lord sitteth upon the flood, yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. You know what anxiety is? It's the absence of peace. If you are filled with anxieties, then it means you have no peace. And you might be trying to deal with your anxieties the way you think you need to deal with anxieties, the way the doctors might even say that you need to deal with anxiety. And I understand that. And I understand that sometimes anxieties can be brought on by a lack of certain things in a person's makeup. I know anxieties can come from a lot of different areas. I'm not telling you to go off your medication. Do not think that I'm telling you to do that. I'm saying that anxiety, according to the Word of God, if it is a lack of peace, then I need to do what God says that I need to do in order to have His peace. And when you turn to have to do what you need to do to have the peace of God, when you have that peace, you will find that that peace will overcome your anxieties. So don't be dependent upon a drug. Don't be dependent upon a counselor. Don't be dependent upon anything other than what God says. Do it God's way. And God says, you want that? He says, He will bless his people with peace. because he is a king forever, but we have to give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory, do unto his name, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. So, changing the way I live to a way that pleases God could be the key to overcoming anxiety and having replaced it with peace. Yeah. Matter of fact, Paul would write to the church in Philippi and saying, it's a peace that passeth all understanding, to be found only in God. Wow. Along with that is another called depression. There's pharmaceutical companies that are making a killing on medication for anxiety. Every doctor, whenever they don't know anything else, they're going to diagnose it as anxiety. Yeah. And they're going to tell you what to do. And it might block it out. It might turn you into a zombie where you don't have to worry about it. But is it a cure? Why not look to God and say, God, how would you have me to deal with my anxiety? Again, I'm not saying medication, sometimes it is chemical imbalances. I understand all that. But are we doing things that God, the way God says to do things in order to be able to battle the battles on our journey through life? Depression. Psalms 43, verse 3 through 5. Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto the holy hill and to thy tabernacle. There's something about being into the house of God, into the holy hill and the tabernacle of God. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? That's a good thing to ask yourself. And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God. You're facing some depression. You're facing some anxiety. Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. I replace depression with praise. What are you doing in praising God? How often do you do that? Do you do it as often as God tells us to? Are you going out there every day to find the manna that God has provided for your journey through life every day? Are you doing what God says to do in order to have his provisions for the journey? Everyone is going to face these things at some point. Some face them more than others. All of us will face times of anxiety, times of depression, times of fear. But how we deal with them, God has a plan. See, we need to remember the manna and do things according to God's instructions. We need to study God's battle plans. Whether it's fear. Say, how do you do that, preacher? Sometimes you need to just have a word study or a topical study. And if you're studying that topic, find out everything that God says about it in the Bible. And when you find out everything that God says about whatever topic it is that you're battling at the time, then do what God says to do in battling that topic. At least know what it is that God says that you can look to help you to overcome that particular battle as you make your way through life's journey. This is the best counsel. We find the best physician here. The best medication. And we're not using it because we think we have a better way. Really? You think your way is better than God's way? Look to the nation of Israel. You really think that you have a better plan than God? Why not just give in, stop rebelling, and doing it the way God says to do it? God designed a great plan for Israel to get to the promised land. And Jesus Christ has designed a great plan for Christianity to get through your journey of life and accomplishing the things that God has us here to accomplish, and then to enjoy an eternity with the Father. Let's do it God's way. Stop thinking there's a better way and just submit to doing it God's way. If I could ever head bowed, ever I close this morning. He's got a great design. He's got a great plan. We just have to do it His way. Follow His instructions. God's plan for Christianity today is just as miraculous as the manna was for the children of Israel in the Old Testament. Let's learn from it. Father, we bow before You now. Thank You, Lord God, for the truth of Your word and for Your battle plans. Lord, as we battle the different things throughout life, I trust that we'll stop trying to do it our way and just look to You. And God, as we do it Your way, enjoy the blessings that You will have for us. I pray, God, now that You would work in this invitation. We have preached Your word. I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would now make whatever applications necessary, and that people would make decisions to follow You. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.